The dawn of civilization. Primitive. Dangerous. Exciting. The handwriting is on the wall. If the human race is ever going to amount to anything, it needs...
the most civilized caveman I have ever seen.
Ah, look, he's come out of his cave.
Hey everyone, this is James from the Cave Dweller Music Podcast. I have my co-host Brendan with me. Today we are joined by Devi Hisgen. He is from the band Titan, based in Rotterdam. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's really great to talk to you.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, anytime. So your project, I guess you'd call it an experimental black metal project. Do you want to tell people a little bit about what that is about musically, what you do in the project, what the goal is there?
Yeah, thanks. I started Titan back in 2008 with a friend of mine. We were teenagers and we just wanted to sound like the extreme Swedish black metal band, like Black Funeral and Marduk and that kind of stuff. That was like what we saw as like really extreme black metal, like really chaotic sounding. And then we did like a crappy demo and then we didn't do anything with it. And then I still hang out with this guy and he's like into hip hop and cars and that kind of stuff. And I still make music. And I started producing at around 2018, I think. So that was like 10 years after we did Titan. And he was like, bro, you should like bring Titan back to life again for your studio thing. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Just like use Titan to record songs so I can practice mixing and studio engineering. So that was like the purpose to start it. And it was also like, yeah, I like psychedelic and experimental music. So I used it to develop my producer skills, but also my songwriter skills. And yeah, I'm like every day I'm further curious to how far I can drive this. Like I want to make quality music, but then experimental, like really experimental.
Right. No, definitely. I think you achieved that for sure.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. I'm already writing for a new work and I'm like, it's going to be like so many steps further even. So yeah, I'm really excited about this.
Yeah. I can't wait to see how it plays out because when I heard the album for the first time, I was just like, man, there's no boundaries here. Pushing it, there's so much going on, but it all works. It's not feeling forced.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
I'm super picky with my black metal, as we know. And this project, you know, is just the way everything comes together and your vocal ranges and all that are just so much better. It's not like some dude in a tin can bathroom, like, you know, you're doing like some really neat stuff, you know.
Yeah, thanks. If I would make stuff that sounded like I recorded it in my bathroom or something, I would sell way more records, though. It's like, that's the fucked up thing with black metal. If you see the scene, it's like all the big YouTube channels and all the big artists, they're like really boring stuff, like the 90s stuff over again, like on the most boring fashion.
I've always said that there's a bunch of those. I'm not going to name names because I don't want to start anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's a couple of specific ones where it's like if you submit something to them and it's actually interesting, they say no every time.
What channel you're about. Yeah.
And there's a very specific reply that they give every time too. I've seen memes about it. But
oh, really?
Yeah. I'll send you those. It's and then if it's like generic second wave worship, then it's automatically approved, basically.
Yeah, word. Yeah. Yeah, that's true, man. And it's there's so much nice experimental metal going around these days. It's like, even from outside the black metal, there's like bands like Sleeptime Gorilla Museum, who are like, if you listen to their stuff from like 2005 or something older, it's still relevant. It's still... Mm-hmm. And also in the black metal, there are bands like Dotheim's Guard and Orange Pazuzu that really drive it to the limits, you know?
Well, for me, like the biggest standout black metal album for me personally in the last like 10 years was Ash Inspire's Brutal Architecture that they did. I think it was a year before last year, might have been last year. That was my album of the year when that came out. Have you heard that one?
Nope. The name does ring a bell, but I haven't heard it.
It's black metal, but it's also like right on the fringe of black metal. It's like super jazzy, ton of jazz instruments. But the vocals are kind of just this guy like angry shouting. And it's just this guy ranting about capitalism, basically. But it's really raw and really interesting. And I just unlike anything else I've ever heard. So I loved it.
Mm. Sounds great. You should send me a link.
Okay. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Akakok in some ways.
Oh, yeah. Cool. I've already... found it.
Yeah, check that out and let me know what you think. It's not for everyone. Some people I know love it and some people I know hate it. So
I gave them a follow.
Great. They're from Scotland. What about you? Anything else stood out to you recently that's been really good?
Ooh. Recently... Oh, yeah, I should be ashamed for this, but I discovered Kim Dracula.
Yeah, Kim Dracula. One of our writers loves Kim Dracula.
Yeah, well, I really do love it because it's like all over the place. And yeah, I just really love it. It's an easy to listen album. Every time I put it on, it's over within a heartbeat. So yeah, I like that. But it's not that popular among my friends.
No, I get that. Brendan, have you heard Kim Dracula?
I don't think so.
Okay,
it's like six to seven different genres.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it has, I think that like, because he's also a little bit comedic and...
It's campy.
Yeah, and that's what... like the extreme metalheads, they dislike it quickly because it's too flashy and that, yeah.
But like, it's weird because people will say stuff like that, but then they'll listen to King Diamond. But King Diamond is like
yeah.
incredibly campy, which I love about it. It's like one of the best things about King Diamond.
Yeah, and I think that theatrics is also like a huge part of metal in general.
Yeah, for sure. Over the top, excessive.
Yeah, exactly. So, and Kim Dracula kills that. So, yeah.
Brendan, yeah, what about you? Anything stood out to you?
To me?
Yeah, recently. Anything good?
I've been listening to Yersin. They released an album, let's see, how long ago? Not too long ago. The Skate is Remorseless is the name of the album I've been listening to a bunch of. And it's super good. It's super, super good. Toad Liquor just released an album that I've been listening to a lot of too, Back in the Hole. Super, super good. And then, honestly, I've been going back to Ripple Music. Last year, I released a tribute to Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Awesome.
I've just been digging that, man. It's just, it's so good. Very good. Yeah.
Oh, also, I listen to a lot of music outside the metal scene that really inspires me, like the Kilimanjaro Dark Jazz Ensemble.
Oh, great. Good band. A good collective.
Yeah, really, really good. And Grills. I'm not sure if you know that. They just dropped a new album. Check them out. It's also psychedelic music. Really good.
Oh, great. I love psych.
Yeah. And there was this band called Thanti Faxat. Okay. I don't know if I pronounced it right, but it's a black metal band, also like really experimental and psychedelic.
I know exactly who you're talking about. Thanatifax, right?
Okay, yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think I pronounced it.
I just butchered saw them live. I saw them live end of last year. They were fantastic.
I think my best friend got tickets for us, so I'm going to see them as well. Yeah.
Oh, great! You'll love it. It's great live. Like the atmosphere really carries.
Nice. Looking forward. And Swans. You guys know Swans? If you ever listen to Swans?
Yeah,
they got a lot of good records. Yeah.
For sure.
I feel like they just released something too, or maybe re-released something.
I think they released something. I just saw it like, where did I... Swans.
Swans is kind of like Melvins a little bit because they have so many albums and like some are fantastic and some are like nothing's bad. It's just some are way better than others.
Yeah, they just have their phases. And I like the phase where they went through during like To Be Kind was bizarre.
They had some weird stuff going on for a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that like that kind of music, like I already know a lot of black metal, so I think I unconsciously make use of my knowledge of black metal. But I think that what I really try to put in my music with full conscience is these bands from outside the metal scene, like Swans and the Kilimanjaro Dark Jazz Ensemble and other similar stuff, and Grills.
That's great.
Yeah, to broaden the influences that you can put into music.
I think it's good to have.
Swans is really hypnotic, you know.
Definitely, it's like trancey. I feel like it's really good to have a broad range of taste to listen to, because it influences you in different ways. Like outside of metal, I have a non-profit digital record label that does all psychedelic and folk and reggae and
some electronic.
Electronic. Yeah, I got electronic in there. Afrobeat.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff.
So it's nice to have like different sides of your like musical life, I guess.
Yeah, I agree, man.
So I just wanted to go back to Titan for a second. I need to ask you, who did the album art?
Ah, that was Manuel Tinneman. And he is the... I knew him because like I was searching for an artist, and I looked up a few of my favorite album covers, and then I saw one name coming back a lot of times that I didn't know yet, and he was behind Drought from Despa Omega. And a lot of other great albums. But then, I looked him up, and he was a Dutch guy. So I was like, oh, that's cool. And he did an exhibition at Roadburn. So I said, okay, I'm going to meet you over there. And we talked, and he did this work for me. And he I told him about the concept of the album. And so he said, like, okay, I have to make something void-like and have to use a lot of eyes. So make me a photo shoot with a lot of weird faces that you make, so I can use your eye in the painting.
Eye?
Yeah, that's my eye in the
painting. Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
did he go from a photograph, or did he paint it originally?
Yeah, he painted. Mind? Yeah, yeah. So he painted cool. Freehand. It's not from a projection, but it's like he's a veteran in artwork. So he has a lot of experience, and he just took the photo as a reference.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I thought it had like a Despa Omega type of feel to it. So that makes total sense.
Yeah, and Despa Omega, I'm like, I really have to separate the artist from the art there.
Yeah.
yeah, but they did such important work for modern sounding avant-garde black metal. It's like
dissonant black metal.
Yeah, like the really dissonant stuff. Yeah,
it's tough because some people like you can not like them, which is fine. I understand why people wouldn't, but you can't like disregard their contribution to the scene.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, but should we like actively promote a band that is so? Well, I'm not sure like how true any of it is, but it's like there's being said that they have like Nazi ideologies or sympathies or
From what I've heard, it's just one member.
Yeah, the vocalist, right?
Yeah, just the vocalist, and they're kind of like on the last album, kind of working him out. Like,
really?
They brought that other guy in.
From Marduk. Yeah,
from Marduk. But I mean, Marduk's another band that's got its own controversy.
Yeah. So you have to separate the artist from the art. But when you do that, like that's what Omega is from the black metal perspective. It's like one of my biggest inspirations. That's what Omega and Dotheim's Guard, those two together.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it shows in the music for sure.
Yeah, I think that Aldrin, especially like as a vocalist, he did something that like no other vocalist did before. And now that he introduced that, slowly but surely there are like other vocalists picking it up, like also Forest of Stars. I'm not sure if you know that.
Yeah.
On the last album they did, like their vocalist also, made the psycho switch and sounded more like Aldrin.
Have you ever listened to a dude called Morgul?
Morgul, yeah. Like with Minas Morgul.
Not Minas Morgul, but there's a guy just called Morgul, M-O-R-G-A-L. You were kind of reminding me of him in a way, because he uses like a lot of weird industrial elements and like avant-garde stuff and sound bites, and but it's like it's black metal. Yours is a lot rawer and a lot like harsher than his, but he has that weird just do whatever I want in black metal type of vibe.
Yeah, nice. Do you mean Morgul with you?
Yes, that's what it is.
Like, I had like a album of them, Lost in Shadows Grey. Like back in the end of the 90s, early 2000s, I listened to that stuff a lot.
If you go later and you get to like Sketch of Supposed Murder.
Yeah,
that one's fantastic. And that one's like super avant-garde.
Nice. I have to check it out. Yeah.
The one after that's a little bit like melodic black metal type of thing, a little more accessible. I think Sketch of Supposed Murder is a better album.
Awesome.
So I know that you have a bunch of other projects that you're a member of. Some are like currently active, some are previously active. But there was one that you just released an album with this year. I hope I'm saying it right. Is it Stuporous?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, like what happened is that I moved in my current house. And before that, I just started producing, but moving into this house made it really easy for me to produce every minute of the day. So also, like, if I want to perform at 3 at night, I can do it. And that's like, I have my studio in my living room. My living room is basically my studio. And then I was like way more available to start doing projects, because I can record at home, I can do the mixing over here. And I started Titan. I already played in Cthulhuminati, that's my main band. But then I was, like during the Corona pandemic, I met a lot of guys on a Facebook group. And we started some studio projects, and then it really became like a magician group. So we started the Zwottekring, and that's it's a collective of musicians that all work together. Of them are getting a role on the new Titan album, so I'm going to make use of them, like Izzy, that also plays on Stuporous. He plays horns and brass instruments. So
nice.
He already did some records for my new album, so new recordings. And that's the story. So it's like I don't know if you know any of these bands, also like The Color of Rain and Skavet and Meslamte, and it's all black metal, but a lot of them is like really more experimental or symphonic or that kind of stuff.
Awesome. And are you all signed to Void Wanderer Productions with all of these releases, or is it just a couple of them?
Most of them, because it's like the owner of that label is also part of the Zwottekring. But some projects are releasing through other labels. And Void Wanderer cooperates with War Productions and Onism Productions a lot. And I also release my music through Onism and Void Wanderer. Same time. Yeah.
Onism has some great stuff on it.
Yeah. I don't know if you know Grey Aura.
What was it? Sorry?
Grey Aura.
No, Grey I don't Aura. Think so.
Yeah. The drummer from Cthulhuminati, Seth, he was originally from Severe Torture. And he then came to us, and now he also plays at Grey Aura. A really cool avant-garde and experimental band as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. I haven't heard of them. I have to check them out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And Onism is from the UK. So that's...
Right.
Yeah. For us, it's easier to also approach the scene over there, because it's like with sending albums to the UK right now is such a
Ever since Brexit.
Mm-mm.
I've heard a lot of labels lost a lot of money when that happened.
I can imagine. Yeah. And not only the labels.
The artists, everyone, yeah. And then you had another one that you released recently as well called Oceans Above from your project Color of Rain.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really glad with that project. It's also, I liked working with Florgus. He also drums for Stuporous and other instruments as well. And he's such a nice guy to work with. And Gerhans, the guitar player from The Color of Rain, is also like, he's the sweetest guy ever. Like, he's so cool. So it's like, there was it was a match made in heaven, and it was really nice to work together. And now we recorded another EP that's going to be released as a split with another band, I think somewhere this summer. And it's going to be released on vinyl. So we had to wait the queue out.
Jeez. Yeah, it's insane. Yeah. It's absolutely insane. Now, the thing is like, the queue is so long because I feel like there's some smaller pressing places popping up and this and that. Like, are there more options and they're just more expensive? Or is it just like there's only a couple places doing this and they're just so backed up?
Yeah, that's a problem. There's only like a few places in Europe where we can press. There's like a few in Asia. I'm not doing the orders myself, so I'm not too familiar with how it exactly works, but I think that there are like a lot of companies that will sell you vinyls that like where you can press them, but they are just like a middleman. So the actual factories where they can press vinyl are really limited.
Okay.
That's a global issue. And it's just the thing is, they used to be like so readily available back in the days when vinyl was originally popular. And then vinyl, everyone thought it was dead, so they shut all of them down. And now vinyl's back. They haven't reopened a bunch of these factories.
Yeah, but the question is it here to stay? Because like if people believe that, then entrepreneurs, do your thing. Step into the gaping hole.
Right.
Right.
Start manufacturing.
Well, I think too, vinyl is being used in other places as well. You know, it's like getting wrapped around houses and spots. You know, it's there's a major construction boom and stuff. Things are getting replaced. That takes, think about like a hurricane that destroys part of a city or a town, and then they have to rebuild all that stuff. But it takes a while for everything to get built back up. You know, that's why there was like a major lumber boom, you know, like you had that going on. Plus people had all this COVID time and they just started doing all these home projects, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
let's build a deck. Oh, let's do that, you know. And so all that stuff kind of compiles up, and that also, you know, takes a lot of like plastics and you know, like the vinyl.
Yeah.
So like raw material, I think, is just also part of it too, you know?
Yeah, I can imagine. I'm not sure what the problem is. And I don't play vinyl myself, so I'm like it's a problem for the label.
Yeah. We gotta start making sacrifices to the algorithm gods and the vinyl gods.
Exactly. To be honest, I'm not too concerned with anything. I like to make music, and obviously I love it to be released, but it's like, that's why I give it out of hands. I released some stuff myself earlier on, and it's really difficult to do like a proper promotional campaign.
Distribution too.
Yeah. Sorry?
Distribution as well is like the whole other side that you have to think of.
Yeah. Yeah, so going to the post office that many times, and no, it was like I hated it. So I'm really glad. Like, that's for me the biggest part, to be connected to a label. That's like when I finish a record, I send it to the label and they deal with the rest, you know?
Right. Definitely. Brendan, I know you had some sort of more localized questions.
Yeah, I had some of those for sure. Well, you know, we were talking before we were recording about, you know, music, live venues and whatnot. And, you're a studio band, but I'm certain that you have to get out there and see some live music. So what's your favorite spot to go see bands come through?
Yeah, I've got a few of them. I'm not like a really huge festival and concert goer, but I do visit my my favorite bands from time to time. And when I just want to go out and I don't care what am I going to see, then I'm going to Baruch here in Rotterdam, so I can do it by my bicycle. And they play a lot of awesome death metal and black metal bands from all over the world.
Awesome.
And a lot of times when I buy tickets for my favorite bands, I see them in Utrecht or at the Tivoli Theater. And of course, the 013, like 013. It's a stage in Tilburg where they have like a lot of awesome shows. And every year there's Roadburn Festival. Nice. And that's where I discover a lot of new music, because it's always experimental. They had like a lot of stoner and doom back in the days, and then they added more black metal, and then it got way out of hand, and now it's like with indie artists and folk and even electronic things, and like everything has this weird edge. Everything is like a little bit off or psychotic, or so it's a really cool festival.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I really want to go to that. I've seen a lot of bands I love play that.
Yeah, man. It's like I keep seeing, like, I'll be like, oh my God, dude, you see this lineup? And then I'm like, oh, it's so far away. You know?
Yeah, I can imagine. But we do have visitors from like Indonesia and Canada, and like people come from everywhere to see Roadburn. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brandon and I have Maryland Death Fest coming up in May.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Nice. Do you live in the US then right now?
I do, yeah. I'm not from the US, but I live in California.
Ah, okay. Nice. Maryland Death Fest, yeah.
Yeah, I'm on the East Coast.
No closer to him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like an hour and a half flight for me, or like maybe like a 4.5-6 hour drive maybe.
Ah, cool. Okay.
So I fly down. I'm not trying to drive in the city of Bmore. It's a pain in the ass.
There's a lot more grindcore and black metal this year, though, than there was at the previous one. It's like it's more balanced.
It's a little more diversified.
I know the name. There's like a lot of people that I know that that went there, and I think I see pictures and lineups coming by at Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah, last year, because they had the pandemic for a couple of years, so it didn't happen, was like an all-stars.
Yeah, they had to take a break.
Stacked lineup. It was just like 90s heavy hitters. Just so many bands from the 80s and 90s that were like massive names.
Yeah. Nowadays, this one seems to have a decent mix, though. You know, there's a lot newer stuff too, which is great because, you know, and it's not like they're kicking out the old bands and stuff like that, but like there's a lot of new bands or newer bands that, you know, that are really fucking good. And no, it's thanks to those other bands, you know.
As a black metal fan, you'd appreciate the last year we went, they had Tom G. Warrior did two sets.
Yeah.
And one was purely playing 80s Hellhammer stuff, and one was playing Trypticon. And that was awesome.
I can only imagine. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Brendan, I derailed it again, but I'll let you carry
on. No, you're good. You're good. So we got some venues there. What about, have you been to the Goat or the vegan junk food bar?
Yeah, definitely. That's one of my go-to places.
Yeah.
I'm a vegan myself.
Okay. All right.
So yeah, vegan junk food bar is like,
it looked pretty good. Like I was checking it out and I was like, wow, that's actually kind of neat. Cause like usually when you think of vegan food, it's like around here, it depends, you know, it's like much more traditional and it's like, it's going to be like a wrap or like some kind of like, I don't know, bread sandwich kind of deal. You know what I mean? Where it's that stuff all looked pretty cool, you know?
Well, here in Europe and especially in the Netherlands, we have a really nice vegan culture already. So there's like here in Rotterdam, we have like a vegan pizza bars, vegan junk food bars. There's even like a few venues that are directly attached to like a vegan snack food and that kind of stuff. And there's like a lot of awesome burgers, tapas restaurants, but like nothing beats a good meal at home. Just with my girl. Like,
yeah,
I can cook all the chefs out.
That's awesome. Yeah, I used to be a chef professionally, and then after COVID killed it up and flipped my life upside down, I got into the brewing industry. But now I love to come home and make food. I used to hate come home. Like when I was chefing, the last thing I wanted to do is like make food, you know, the family and all that, you know? And it was just like, I was like, come on. I just spent like 10 hours in over communication cooking hell. Now I'm like, can I just relax?
Oh yeah.
Own food.
Yeah.
And then I just like be lazy about it because I was just like, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Now I love doing it. It's great. I make all kinds of good stuff and it's just taken with so much care, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like, I do love to cook. It's something that's really mindful and it's really nice to make your own food. Like, yeah.
What's your favorite thing to make?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I have like a few things that if I really want to make something really awesome, there's like a few directions that I go and I divide it by kitchen. So I have like my Japanese stuff. So like I make my own teriyaki with mushrooms and mushroom soup and that kind of stuff and breaded tofu. I like the Turkish cuisine. So then I make like a bowl with couscous and like some fake chicken or mushrooms that I seasoned like a Turkish chicken. And then I add like vegetables and lemon and mint and pomegranate, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Nice.
Sounds awesome. Yeah, there's some really cool mushrooms that I love mushrooms because they're like flavor sponges, you know?
Mushrooms are great.
I love like, I'll like my... I'll underrated. Do it all the time. My wife hates them, but like I do it. I'll just take the button mushrooms and, you know, just like the white mushroom or whatever. And then I'll saute it until, you know, they get like most of the liquid out. And then I'll just take like a little vinegar, some garlic and some like little bit of spices. And then just basically like let it soak in that and like marinate the mushrooms essentially, you know, and then I'll eat them cold.
Yeah,
dude, I'll do that too. I love that. Like I could just cook like a mushroom medley in butter and garlic and just eat that.
Garlic with like a little Italian dressing or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like
yeah, I need some seasoning.
Boom. Yeah, I do them like a little bit of olive oil and all the liquid needs to get out. So they get like really small and dark and then add some raw garlic and some sea salt and some thyme and I'm done. Like that's a snack.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So now we went from black metal to vegan cooking. Nice.
Yeah.
We just need to cover philosophy and psychiatry and then.
That's the next section. Next section.
Yep.
Awesome.
We can do that.
Bring it on.
And then, so locally too, I wanted to ask about the Erasmus Bridge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I cross that one with my bicycle every day.
Yeah, So it's like I don't know, it's like one of the world's coolest bridges, kind of dealies, you know. And it's just like it's kind of cool. I didn't know if there was like a whole thing to it, or like why it happened, or it was just happens to be there.
Well, like Rotterdam is divided by the Maas. And so there's like a northern part of Rotterdam and a southern part of Rotterdam. And like everything to do is in the northern part. So the northern part is like where the entire center is and all the big theaters and the shopping malls and that kind of stuff. And it's like a really modern, developed city. And like the southern parts are more I work there and it's not for nothing. I work in psychiatry and sometimes it feels like it's a open air psychiatric clinic facility. So it's there's like a lot of poverty and it's so different from the northern parts of Rotterdam. And what they try to do is to connect them more so that it's easier to drive with the car, with the tram, or with the metro, and go by from the southern part. So they're trying to fix the southern parts by make it more accessible to work there. So yeah, they I think that like in the 90s or something, they built the Erasmus Bridge, and but they're like. At this moment, we have like three bridges and four tunnels or something. And it's getting better a little bit. Yeah.
Nice. So yeah, no, it's super cool. Yeah, it's super inviting, you know, at least it looks so. And then...
And I enjoy it every day. I'm like a tourist in my own city. When I go
with
my bicycle over the Erasmus Bridge, it's like a really nice view. And it's, I can enjoy it and I live
for... Yeah, no, it's sweet, you know. Forever. Yeah. Yeah, like the massive like lookout tower there and whatnot. It's a really cool looking city, you know. It's really
I love Rotterdam.
It's cool. Does it have a lot of like the old style historical kind of stuff still kicking around, or is it kind of?
No, like Rotterdam was bombed during the Second World War. So
right. Like, well, that's what I'm asking. I guess is there anything left that's kind of like?
Yeah, there's like there's one little place called historic Delfshaven. It's a park in the western part of Rotterdam, and that's the only place where you really see like the Amsterdam style old old homes and streets. But it's like a really small part, but it's really awesome to see. But it's also like the benefits of that they had to rebuild Rotterdam. On its entirely is that they it's like a really modern city, so it's really easy. There's not a lot of traffic problems like they have in Amsterdam or The Hague. So yeah, it's convenient as well that they had to build it up altogether.
Yeah, that's cool. And then the last question I have about is the cube houses.
They suck.
It looks kind of cool from outside, but like
they're lame. They're just yellow cubes. It's like I don't see the big deal. Like, they're ugly as fuck, you know. And it's like it's just like 30 cubic houses, and like people from China are coming especially for those weird things.
It's like they're all tilted and whatnot, and you're just like,
yeah, that's like weird. Okay, then you come there and you see like some tilted house, like, whoa, cool. And then what?
Like, it looks like if you're like approaching them from the front, it looks like they're all looking at you, like looking down at you.
Yeah,
I think you should smoke a little bit less weed. The houses are looking at me, man.
These houses are paranoid, man.
What do they want from me?
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. No, nice that you had a few questions about Rotterdam. I really love this place. I'm like, I traveled a lot and there's so much about Europe also to love. And I recently was in Cape Town for 5 weeks. And it's also like a magical place. So I can like appreciate all these countries for their own thing. Like, and also I really love Romania. Romania is such a beautiful country. But like what traveling has learned me is that like the Netherlands are a really cool place as well. I started to love the Netherlands more because of traveling. Not because I hated other countries, because I love a lot of countries. But they made me more sensitive for what makes the Netherlands the Netherlands, you know. And I do appreciate that.
You're part of that, you know.
I'm not like a patriotic in that way, because I have a lot of critiques on Dutch politics and
of course
Dutch culture and mentality as well, but like it's a cool country to live.
I'm originally from South Africa actually.
Oh, you do? Where from?
I'm from Durban on the east coast.
Okay, cool.
But Cape Town, you're right.
Yeah, I was in Cape Town and I stayed over in Camps Bay.
Okay, Cape Town's fantastic. Like one of the coolest places on earth, in my opinion.
It's really cool. And it's like, it's still a little bit like the Wild West, you know, like everything is possible. And I had like a few tattoo sessions done over there and like were full day sessions. So I talked a lot with my tattoo artist and he had such a lot of cool stories from business owners over there, and the things that are possible over there are like really cool.
Yeah, if you can get financially comfortable there, you can live a pretty crazy life in Cape Town.
Yeah. If I sell my apartment over here, then I can buy like a giant mansion with a
the exchange rate would definitely help you.
Yeah, and then I would still keep money in my pocket like to spend over there.
Yeah, it's different as well because it's not as dangerous as other parts of South Africa. Like Johannesburg's a very different feeling to Cape Town.
Yeah. Cape Town, it's like, it's really, really modern. Yeah, especially if you know where to live and what to do, then nice.
So we're kind of coming up on time. So I had this question I ask everyone that comes on the show. Going to put you on the spot very slightly here, which is, if you were stranded on a desert island and all you had was a solar-powered Discman and three CDs to listen to until you got rescued on repeat, what albums would you want to have?
Oh, fuck, man. Ooh, that's a really tough one.
It is.
Okay, like, it's hypothetical, so I'm going to make that let it make that easier for me. But I think Aumbra Omega from Dothan's Guard.
Okay.
Tills from the Inexpressible from Spongle.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's psychedelic. No. It's from the Goa psytrance scene, but it's like, it's a band actually with a drummer and a guitar player, synthesizers, female vocals and flutes and everything. It's like really, really creative and cool.
Okay.
So those two, and then, oh man, this is tough. Like maybe like Midian from Cradle of Filth or something completely different. I'm not sure. Maybe The Origin of Symmetry from Muse.
Interesting. I like that album.
Yeah. Someone else mentioned Muse not too long ago as well.
It's only that album for me. Like that album is like from start to end, it's amazing. Like there's a feel in it, something really frustrated and deeply emotional and like really theatrical in an emotional way that that really speaks to me. I like that.
Their early stuff was so good and the later stuff is so trash. The last few albums have been terrible.
Yep. Yeah, I can't explain how that happened. Maybe that's what actual fame does to you. I'm not sure.
Ever since that song Supermassive Black Hole blew up, they haven't been the same.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. Yeah.
Because everything up to that album was good. Even that album had a lot of really good songs on it.
Well, to be honest, I mostly just like The Origin of Symmetry. The rest is like, it's from okay to bad for me personally. Yeah, but like The Origin of Symmetry would be like on my maybe list for the deserted island thing.
Fair.
Yeah. But it has to battle with weird albums like Midian from Cradle of Filth or something from the Kilimanjaro Dark Jazz Ensemble.
Nice. That would be a vibe for a desert island, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. It's a summer music. Yeah
exactly.
I hope it doesn't rain on the fucking island all day.
Yeah, you're the first person to mention weather, so I actually don't know this scenario and I have to think deeper.
It depends. If it rains, then you play something totally different than when it's like really sunny. Exactly. Or when it's freezing, like it's a Russian island, like, and you're like in an igloo. So that's a different story. What do you play? I play Immortal then.
Yes. I can tell you are into philosophy, as you said.
Yeah, and the deserted island thing is quite a cool metaphor from Albert Camus, one of my favorite philosophers. He was, what other people say of them is that he was the starter of absurdism. And it's about like there was like a group of expeditioners, and they ended up on a deserted island, in a wintry deserted island, like somewhere on the North Pole or somewhere close. And their stuff broke down and they didn't know if they would make it. It was like at the early 20th century. And then one of them or two of them, they went out to find help to see if they could reach a city or anything. So, and the rest had to wait it out over there. And they didn't know if the shit is going to work out and if they would be saved and if they would live for long and like what was going to happen. And they kept a journal, and strange enough, they had like the best time of their lives over there. So they were like, it was like they danced and they made plays, and yeah, they went really deep with each other because they were like aware of the situation, that it was like bizarre and that you don't know what the fuck is going to happen, if you are mm-hmm. going to be saved. And the best way to deal with that is to make the best time of your life, like to connect with people and to like dance on the edge of insanity of like you don't, yeah, it's like a weird situation, you know. And that's like is parallel to how we see life. It's like a extension of existentialism, and it's like you don't know what there is. Like there's probably not like a god as the Christians and the Muslims picture it, but like who knows? Like you don't know, and you're probably not going to find out during this life. So,
right.
As an absurdist, it's like, well, I'm just going to dye my dick blue and see the world and have the best fucking time and enjoy every fucking single second. And it's like there was one guy, and he said it at best. He was like, he doesn't just stare in the abyss. He's going to make sure that he makes uncomfortable eye contact with it. It's like it's enjoying. The weirdness. It's not just enjoying life. It's like what a lot of people do that don't think a lot about. Like they just enjoy life with a live, laugh, love mentality and whatever. It's like, yeah. It's not just enjoying life. It's like really going deep into what the fuck it is and understand how absurd and bizarre it is and enjoy that. Like it's really tapping into the weirdness
People don't find appreciation in like the stranger moments in life. Like those make them uncomfortable. Exactly.
Expect the unexpected.
I love like those situations because I always think about it later as like that's a great memory that I have for the rest of my life, even though at the time it was uncomfortable.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So we're all gonna have to plan a mushroom trip.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, awesome. I think that like mushrooms and like psychedelics in general had like a really good influence on music as well.
Yeah, for sure.
It definitely inspired me. Like.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And philosophy in general as well. But I think that I really got into philosophy thanks to psychedelics as well.
Yeah. It makes you more in the moment.
Yeah. And it makes you look at things from a really different perspective. I think that like it already makes your brain a little bit more... it's easier to make new neural paths, so you can do things that you know quite good and then approach it from a completely different angle.
Right. You're like, oh man, I always do this way, and then it's like, what if I tried from the middle, you know? And you're like, whoa, you know, and then bam, something new entirely rippled out from that, you know?
Yeah, and that's why it's really good for creative processes as well. Yeah.
Yeah, you're talking like microdosing, like not like going on full blown like.
No. I'm talking about macrodosing, like a huge dose, like take 200 milligrams, man. Just go for it.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, I'm not endorsing people to do drugs.
No, but I would definitely go on an island with you.
Nice. That will make it more bearable, like not being alone
and having psychedelics.
Yeah. Good music choices. It'd be all right.
Yeah, I think dark jazz and Kilimanjaro, dark jazz ensemble stays then if we're doing
psychedelics. Yeah, okay.
That's a good fit.
Well, we have a good playlist then already for Deserted Island. Yeah.
Awesome.
Nice.
So just before we wrap up, if people want to follow you on social media or listen to your music or buy your music, what are the best places to do all of that?
Well, you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook, obviously, The Black Titan. And I think that all the music is for sale at Void Wanderer Productions. Be sure to check them out. They have a lot of good music under, how do you call that? In stock. So, yeah, be sure to check that out.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was really great chatting with you.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah. So, yeah, thanks again for the invitation.
Absolutely.
Anytime. Yeah, if you do some more projects in the future and you want to come back on and talk about them, just let us know. Happy to have you back.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, man.
Okay, no worries. Everyone listening at home, thanks for tuning in. We'll have another guest next week.